in 2024. Welcome to Traceolytical for January 16, 2024. Please make sure that you have signed the CCG IPR agreement. I believe everybody on this call has. Are there any pressing issues anybody would like to talk about before we get to open PRs?
Do you want to scribe? I can divide like last time. I'm happy to.
Awesome.
Yep.
Let's do it that way. Does anyone have anything they want to bring up before we go back to our regularly scheduled agenda? Awesome. Let's get started with polls then. So, we're starting with Trace Vocab today. Here's the list of all pull requests. We're going to start with 923. It was opened by Patrick. Patrick, do you want to walk us through it?
Yeah, let me just pull it up. So this is an issue that, this was related to an issue on the interrupt spec. I had a problem extending the did document using the PyLD library. So I submitted a pull request. It has been approved, but I'm still having the same issue. So I'm trying to understand how can I further test this to resolve my problem.
Chris had a comment on Facebook. Sorry, your audio is super low, Chris. We can barely hear you.
Better?
A little bit better. Is there anything else we can do?
I don't think so. I'm basically eating.
This is okay. It's doable. Oh, sorry.
I tested this as well, and I ran the build, and it doesn't change the output document. So I'm not sure that this is the fix. And I also note that the service endpoint is already defined in the JSON-LD for DIDV1. But I got stuck there because I don't really have enough knowledge of JSON-LD to figure out how to do this, and wonder if we actually even need to define traceability API. Because the whole, you know, ID type and I think that there's a third item in the service, but that's all defined in the DIDV1 JSON-LD.
Yes.
Yeah, just really quickly looking at it now, it looks like that term is an ID, is a type, not an ID.
So do you know what the fix would be?
It sounded like Chris was on the right track, like an actual service endpoint, something that actually defines service endpoint, not just that you give it a something of type URL.
Sorry, because Chris was saying, unless I misunderstood, Chris was saying, let's remove the term definition of traceability API completely.
Yeah,
because it is defined elsewhere.
Yes, plus one on that.
Okay. Go ahead.
So what would be the actionable out of this?
If I understand it correctly, the actionable thing is delete the entire traceability API.yaml, and that should fix it? ? I'm not really sure exactly. But, Chris?
I think we may also need to remove or rather modify the trace interop spec for this portion to remove the context that references traceability API here. After we remove it from Trace Vocab.
Okay. Does anyone have any parting thoughts on this?
I haven't tried it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to try it before really sounding smart about it, I think.
Would we be able to assign this issue to you, Ness? Because I think Patrick is a little bit stuck here.
Yeah,
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe Patrick give it. Okay. Thank you.
Or Patrick, ping me about it, email me about it, and we can collaborate.
Yeah, yeah, I can definitely do that. I can send you an email and take it from there.
Let's do that. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you both. Next up is, sorry, anything else on that issue? Or are we good to move on? Cool. Next up is issue 924. This is opened by Rod. Rod, can you please walk us through it?
Yeah, for sure. So we basically expanded the schema because of the gas industry requirements we're working on. So basically we added port of arrival, port of destination, transporter, and count of shipper properties to the schema. Niz, thank you for the comments the other day. I have addressed them. So let me know if anyone has any questions.
This looks pretty straightforward. Does anyone have any? So in this, I reviewed the changes you've requested. They've been addressed as well. Do you have anything else you wanted to modify there? Does anybody else have any comments or?
Just so I think you might be able to find some more precise, like port of destination. I'm pretty sure you can find an actual port of destination on the UN vocab. Okay. That shouldn't take me many seconds to search for them.
I mean, I see it in the inbound. It's not an object. It's a regular property.
Yeah. Might be insert one of the codes. Well, okay. I couldn't find it within seconds, so why don't we
Okay, so are you okay with it letting it pass, or do you want to keep it open and you can maybe write in a concrete suggestion?
Yeah. Let it pass. Let it go.
Alright. Does anybody have any other comments, suggestions? Can I get approvals on this? Okay, Chris approved. And Niz, considering your comments, I'm going to take that as approval as well. I'm going to go ahead and merge this in. Excellent. Next up is the last one for the traceability vocab, which is number 925. Purging outed workload documentation. This is by you, Niz.
Yes, this was, I did remove some of these last week, and overlooked the other ones. I killed the e-commerce ones. This was still, or maybe vice versa. This is before we, early versions of workflows before we had the actual data schema that defines which credentials and which actors and all that stuff. This was just pictures and text. And also the actual workflows were pretty bad, most of them. If we do want to introduce some of them for real, we should do it on that schema we have now in the actual workflows section of the document.
I have approved this already. Does anybody else have any? Can anybody else approve or provide comments on number 925? Thank you, Chris. That is two approvals. I'm going to go ahead and merge this in. I believe that's all of them on traceability vocab. Next up is traceability info. And sorry, I'm a little bit going quickly today just because I know we want to get through a number of issues.
It's awesome.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Just a quick question since we're talking about workflows. So in the VC API, there's an endpoint to get your stored presentations. Is there a reason why that's not part of the traceability interop? Is that not required as a feature?
That would be a platform specific. So we focus on the interop part and not so much on your
Right.
You communicate with your service provider. we did more of that, but we are moving away from it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So the endpoints there are for like interactions between two parties instead of sort of management of your system.
Exactly. The idea is you are free to do whatever you would like within your own domain. We're just trying to find the interactions at the border. Excellent. Moving on to the trace interoperability tools. This is the link for all the pull requests. The oldest one is by NIST, which is number 615. NIST, this is, I believe, purging.
We talked about it last week. Yes, we do want to purge proven verify on Chris. You don't need any of that with OAuth. Sorry,
isn't
pretty recent.
I may just be forgetting something, but I thought Prove is where you create a presentation. We don't need
Prove
that.
Prove is signing your presentation, which you don't do on OAuth.
Okay.
So the idea is that there is no real need to sign a presentation because it's already on a secure exchange and you can just submit the presentation as is, right? Conversely, there's no need to check for a presentation signature because you already did the authentication on that person. Right.
Got it.
Because
you're not passing around presentations to multiple places. It's only between two parties, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thank you.
So does that mean that the presentation is not the verifiable presentation that you exchange? It's just a presentation?
Yes. So from what I remember, verifiable presentations can be signed or unsigned, and there was a point where people were arguing terminology, and I lost track at the end, but this is an unsigned presentation. I'm not going to get into the weeds on the specific terminology, but it is a presentation that does not have a signature.
It doesn't have a proof.
Yeah.
It's
just not a data integrity proof.
Where is the signature?
Right. In the token.
At what point does it sign?
It's in the header token.
But that's not a signature on the presentation, right? That's the JWT for the exchange, not for the actual presentation. Unless I'm missing something.
All right. My point is just it is signed, and the signature is part of the. It's just in the header instead of part of the document.
So I think maybe I'm not parsing you right. What I'm trying to say is it is authenticated, right? And the authentication is in the header,
yes.
But the presentation itself is not signed. Is what I'm trying to make.
Yeah. No. Nope.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a distinction there. Okay.
Okay. Just another good question, if I can. So in the most scenarios that I've seen outside of traceability, mostly related to identity, the presentation usually the issuer of the verifiable credential is not going to be the person presenting these credentials. But in this system, this seems like it's a scenario that's pretty common, that the issuer of the verifiable credential will be the one presenting those verifiable credentials in the presentation?
I mean, I don't think that matters. So yes, that is, at least for our use case, that is usually common. But the holder, the person who's presenting, is within the traceability interop, always working within an authenticated space.
Yes.
And so you always know, like the holder always knows the verifier and the verifier always knows the holder. And so you don't need to actually sign the specific presentation as long as you can prove your identity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
My
question was more because when I was looking at some of these examples, the fact that the holder of the presentation was the same did as the issuer of the verifiable credential struck me as something a bit odd. But it is actually pretty common of a scenario.
It's a very, very common scenario in supply chains, right? Because usually you're the organization self-attesting to something.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. I believe that is 615. Oh, I did have a comment there. Was there was a couple of other sections where we did have references. And I made a secondary PR, 618, which is the very next PR, that closes some of the updates, but there is still references to section 10 that somebody needs to tackle. So
okay. Sorry if that's sloppy.
No, we've had them in many, many places. It's not blaming it that way. So I'm gonna open 618 just because I'm gonna reference 618 just because they're basically the same thing. 618 removes the did authentication flow from the authorization section, right? And sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, no, I was asking for the link you already shared. Thanks.
Yeah. And it removes it from, I believe, the introduction. Yeah. So there is still a reference to did auth in section 10, and which is how the workflow exchange interaction occurs. Would anybody be able to take that and update section 10 as an issue?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
So if you look at section 10 in the specification, you will see that there are still references to how the runner works, right? So this is interoperability testing section. And it says runner calls credentials issue, runner, and I'm going to put a link to it just so everybody can get to it really quickly. Runner calls, sorry, I lost my jargon. Runner calls credentials issue, presentations available, presentation approved, presentation submissions, and credentials verified, right? That is the full did auth flow. Chris, please go ahead.
I just was wondering if we should update this ticket as well or create a separate one because it looks like these endpoints are all still in the OpenAPI YAML.
Wasn't that what NIST removed, which is in 615, unless I'm missing something.
I don't think
this is just documentation.
No. That was all documentation.
Okay, okay, so we do need a removal of the
what's on the OAS. Same stuff. Bravo.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to update the issue. There are two separate things. So this is issue number 604, right? I'm going to say there are still references in section 10. And there are still references in the where did you say it was? Sorry?
Chris? Oh, yes.
Perfect.
But let's merge what we got, and we would have merged most of this, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just trying to make sure that the issue doesn't get closed when we merge this, right? So looking at NIST's PR first, which is 615, does anybody have any objections to merging this in? I see two approvals. I'm going to go ahead and merge it in.
Hang on one second.
Next up. Oh, please go ahead.
Before you merge that, unless 604 is fully resolved.
604?
Yeah, so looking at the top of 618, it says in conjunction with 615 closes 604.
Yep. 604 is not going to be resolved at the end of both of these PRs. There will still be a third PR required.
Okay.
Because, and I put a comment in 604 stating that we still need to remove,
okay, so in 618, the first comment needs to be edited so that it does not get acted on by GitHub and automatically close 604.
I will do that right now.
So if you say address is part of 604, that'll do enough.
Mm-hmm. Done. On PR, so that for the PR that NIST opened, which is number 615, I have merged that in. Next one is 618, which is the one that has the offending comment, which has been modified.
Yeah, that should be fine now.
Excellent. Does anybody else can anybody else approve this, please?
One second.
Keeping in mind that 604 will still need some work, upwards. But I mean, it's still a step in the right direction, right? Excellent. I have a number of approvals. I'm going to go ahead and merge it in. Next up is 619. This is a super simple one, which is just, it adds the acknowledgements section, which comes in exactly. So I copied a verbatim from the traceability vocab one. And basically I added an appendix and the acknowledgements word for word from that specification. Sorry. So this is 619. I believe I linked it. Yeah. I have one approval on it from Chris, and I would love some more. I'm sorry for,
you got the
PRs. Yeah, I appreciate it. These are all like in the last hour and a half, so I appreciate your approval. Two more remaining. One is 620, which is changes to the abstract. I would love some more in-depth review of this. I rewrote the abstract to help tackle issue number 528. So for context, 528 says we need to make our abstract 3 to 5 paragraphs long. We need to add more business framing, and we need to have direct links to bid specification, VC specification, and trade vocabulary specification. And all references to VC API should be moved to its own section. The last one has its own issue. So I interpreted that as remove references from VC API, to VC API from the abstract for this PR. Because we still have a full issue to write relationship for VC API, right? I would love it if someone can do, and I appreciate your review already, Chris, and I would love it if we can get some more reviews on this. And I'm happy for this to wait another week before merging, as long as we get it done correctly. So I'm going to just go ahead and not merge that in and just ask for people to review it before the next call. Next one up is 621. This is a super simple one, and basically it changes the text of our terminology, stating that all the term definitions for the spec can be found in the traceability vocabulary document, and that this specification does not define any additional terms. This should now close number 534. Which basically said, we need a cleaner way of saying we're not defining any new terms here. This is 621. And again, apologies for the late PR. Thank you for reviewing it, Chris and AJ. And this. Thank you, guys. I'm going to go ahead and merge this in. So this gets us through all of the traceability interrupt PRs with the caveat of please review the abstract PR for next week. So let's go today to our newly regularly scheduled programming, and we're going to review the vocab issues with an eye of going through as many issues as possible and marking them as V1.0 ready, right? For this, we don't have a direct order. We're just going to walk through the list of issues directly. I put a link to the issues in the chat. Before we get started, does anybody have any comments or any?
Why not do what we typically do and go with least recently updated?
We could, we just didn't do it last week. That's the only reason.
No, we only did interrupt last week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For interrupt, we didn't do least recently. That's why I just.
Oh, we didn't? Okay. Oh, that's
new. But I'm going to go ahead and just. Okay. Thank you, Ted. Yeah. Thank you, Ted. We're going to go through the least recently updated flow then. So the first one is metallurgy test vocabulary. So the goals today is close or label as 1.0 or just say this is, we're not handling this. Ness, you open this, and last comment was from me in August 2023 that says percentage elongation should go to a specific term. Was there anything else on that?
I do remember this. Yeah, we did find some ISO standards. I think at this point the MTR is pretty good without this. I would close and wait for industry, like, and I mean specifically metallurgy industry experts to come along and tell us how this should be done better than what it is now. It seems like we're just aiming, asking for to make it harder on ourselves here.
All right. So I'm going to say closing as the changes are not requested by industry, where with the idea that if this comes up again, we will be happy to take it, right?
Since this, we went through SteelTech demo and this was not the kind of thing that came up at all.
Okay. Sounds fun. Next up in issues is define a max size limit for JSON LD VCs. So this is issue number 379. Ori's saying there should be some recommendations on this front. And I was saying maybe let's go to trace interop, not here. Or you were basically saying it's data format issue. I think Ted had some issues with this at the beginning. And then I believe it ended on Ted saying, I believe this is the wrong place for it. This should go into the VC data model or VC data integrity specification. And Ori stating it should be wise to set a max at the JSON LD syntax, and we let profiles like this repo further restrict allowed size of conforming documents. So at first glance, this does not seem to be like a thing we need to tackle for 1.0. And I don't know how people feel about this. Do we feel like that is a fair characterization, or do we feel like this needs to be part of 1.0?
Plus one. Let's not tie ourselves to this.
Okay. Does anybody disagree with that? Excellent. We're moving forward then. Next up is 852. Reading is hard, apparently. On 822, we need to change requests for workflow property and workflow class. Make sure that, so this was originally posted by Ori in a comment and edited by Ted for clearer issue creation. We need to make sure that we dereference property, that these dereference properly and that a human can read the definition when clicking them. Right now, it does not. Wait, it does. So workflow definition takes me to a workflow definition that is human readable. And workflow instance does the same. Ted, would you be able to verify that this is no longer a required issue?
I'm noting my own pull request that was merged in August.
Yeah.
I'm just checking it myself here. They appear to do the right thing now.
Excellent. So are we okay to close the issue as complete? Done. Awesome. Next up is pairing a credential with their supporting documents. This seems fun.
Go ahead. On the last one, the removal of workflow YAML, is that done?
I don't have a
simple link to check that.
Yes, it was done, and this is the art, Ted. I just checked it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Excellent. Next up is issue number 357. This issue was raised by Ben. Is Ben on the call today?
No, he couldn't make it. Not today.
Okay. Are you familiar with this?
Let me see. Oh, yeah. We have some pictures of old-fashioned paper documents. We have them all bundled up in a section. this was to present them alongside the actual schema or example. Which is
do we still have these?
These
were not removed, right?
This is definitely not version one. No, they're still there. They're just on their own, not along with the actual schema for the same document.
I feel like this is V1, to be honest, because it's very, it's a very quick change, unless I'm misunderstanding something. And it does make it flow better. So can I ask why you don't think this is part of V1?
Because I want to limit the scope at all to anything that's not completely essential.
That's fair. So I guess we're opening the floor if anybody else believes that this is V1 or is not V1.
It seems like it's a 1.1, if anything.
Okay. Anyone else? Any objections to saying this is not V1? Excellent. It is not V1, maybe 1.1. We'll talk about it. 366. I love this. We're zooming through and we're limiting scope. 366 is workflow.
Sorry, we have something after one.
I believe what we had was nothing 1.0 or VC data model 2.0, which was stuff that is blocked by VC data model 2.0 being fully done. Right? Okay. I don't believe we have anything that is post 1.1, although that might be a good label to create.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of suggesting.
Post 1.0. So I'm going to create a new label for post 1.0. This is for issues that are important, but should not block 1.0.
I'm sorry, which one are we talking about right now?
That is for the pair credentials and supporting documents.
Okay. Okay.
It's probably important to do, but it's not blocking for 1.0.
Yeah, right? Okay. It didn't simulate it to 366.
No. 366. All right, sorry for the tangent on that. Oh, and I think I accidentally put a label on this as well. 366 says, workflow example to demonstrate events. We should have an example of how this event would be used and how it can relate to other documents such as a bill of lading. All was supposed to provide a guideline of how to apply JS1 standards like EPCIS for events. And that was, I believe, the next steps there, right? With Paul providing a sample workflow that utilizes EPCIS events. Okay. For the purposes of this call, I believe this is not a 1.0 thing. But I'm happy to be talked into it, I guess. I think it would all depend on if Paul would be capable of getting this in for 1.0. Or if the rest of the team believes that this is important for 1.0.
I would love to see this. I don't think it's a V1.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and put it with a post 1.0 where we're saying it's important to do, just maybe not today. Cool. Next up. 527. Is how to handle one of in the JSON schema to JSON LD context code. And I think we put a pending close on this with the idea that we are tooling I think where we ended up with this is we are good to go and we can just close this issue. Right. I mean, Ben was the one who did open this issue. Ben was the one who was saying there's another way to do it. And he was on the call when we put a pending close. It's been 4 months. Unless anybody's unhappy with me closing it, I'm going to go ahead and close it. And this wants the murder. So I'm all on board. Let's do that.
A pending close from August. That's not even.
Yeah. That's closed. That's closable, I think. 607. This is going to be fun. 607 is clearly defined revocation and suspension. So the requirements is use status list 2021 and then use a status change credential type, which does not exist yet, which is change status. This is all about, there's a huge number of requirements that we're seeing that need status lists to be modified in specific ways. Status list obviously has been renamed to, I think it's bit status list, and unless I'm getting confused. Please go ahead, Patrick.
I know it was renamed for bitstring status list. However, on the bitstring status list page, all the examples are relating to the data model 2.0. And I had a hard time finding a context for the bitstring status list, although someone did point me to like a GitHub hosted context somewhere. I don't know if the status list 2021 is still the preferred revocation method for the data model 1.0, or
I think that belongs to that specifications. Like, that's a question to that spec of where do I find the context for this spec, right? I think what this issue is specifically stating is we have some requirements that are coming in, such as I need to be able to check the status of a credential, I need to be able to receive a notification that the credential status has been changed, I need to be able to do an activity suspend benefits until an activity occurs, I need to be able to confirm the time of suspension, and so on. And the fundamental question of this issue is, are these things technically incompatible with status list as it is today? Do we need to try finding a different status list model, right? Manu's statements, go ahead.
I can just say, like, with my limited knowledge, it seems to me like anything like notification and time of revocation is a bit outside of the scope of the status list specification.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Manu stated as well, right? And I believe that's what what we knew about from the beginning. That's, I think, my statement as well. But it's a matter of saying that's out of scope for status list, but there's nothing preventing it from being done. There's nothing in status list 2021 or the new name that prevents this from happening. It's just not part of the scope of that spec. Everything else seems like it's doable except for time of suspension. So back to our core question of what do we do here? I think this is important. I would not hold 1.0 to it. I don't know how everybody else feels on this, but I'm over it. Yeah.
Plus one.
So we went down a little bit of a rabbit trail, but, and apologies for that, but I think this is still important. Just needs to be post 1.0. And what I'll do is I'll make sure that I respond to Manu's comments on that. Next up is 427. This was opened by Ted. And this one, I believe, should be part of 1.0. And basically it says, if you're using examples, use real examples. If you're not, if you're using fake examples, make it very, very clear that it's fake. Right? And I believe we all are on the same page with that. So. The question is, do we believe this is 1.0 or not 1.0? I can see this being 1.1, but I feel like this, I want to give it a shot to put including in 1.0. And I don't know how everybody else feels. Go ahead, Ness.
What I dislike a lot about this ticket is that it's too big. It's like all the documents. To pick it up and implement it, it needs to be broken down and say, mill test report should have more realistic data or less realistic data. And so should the next issue is like the invoice needs to have it. Unless we can run some kind of ChatGPT on top of it, which probably is possible. Maybe that's the approach. But if I was to pick it up, I would need it much less just all encompassing.
Ed, did you have any comments you want to make on that?
No. It is big. It's unavoidably big. it's a thing that started out sloppy and has not been fixed yet, and that's just the way a lot of things go.
Yeah. Well, I guess my core question is, do you believe this is 1.0 or 1.1?
I think because of the scale, it goes to 1.1.
Does anybody disagree with that statement? Excellent. We're doing 1.0 then. Oh, sorry, 1.1. That would have been funny. Okay, moving on. How many examples are we talking? We're talking about every single
It's like 100.
So we're talking at least 100. Yeah. The issue is we could break this down, and I think I think the way we do this is part of a cleanup as you go model, where you open a PR and then hopefully you just, add in a couple of changes that fix it. If you're working in a YAML file, you go and you update the example while you're there. But it's more of a, that would make this actually manageable. Otherwise, it's going to be really, really hard to fix, right? And obviously for all new things, we would block it if it's not clearly using the new outlines.
I just have so much respect for generating test data. It's such a chore. You don't just do it if you aren't.
Yeah, but my idea is you just reuse the exact same sample values, right? You could just generate once and you use the exact same, like you only need to do one company, for example, example one and example two, and you run with the same values. You don't have to make brand new everything, right? Like it's still generated data. It's just, using static values.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Would it be worthwhile to have these sort of fake profiles stored somewhere for reference?
I believe that makes the most sense. So I believe a very quick thing that we could do is in our example generator, we just use static array of pre-created values and we just use those, right? For the most part, we don't need 10 organizations. You only need 2, right? I mean, if you ever need another one, you can just create another sample one, but it
depends,
shouldn't be.
Yeah. Depends on the scenario you want to run in. Is it a bit overkill to have a sort of example credential type or example presentation type in the type field, or is that unnecessary?
I think that's overkill. It's one of the things that happens if you do that is people will copy paste credentials. And people will end up with example credential type in their thing, even though it's ridiculously obvious that it says it says the word example in it, but people like copying spec stuff. So we want to do our best to make it, clear what's copyable, what's not.
Yeah. Just one more note. It's not only organizations. You also have products and transport and other, like tons of other stuff. I do agree with organizations. That could be copy-pasted to us.
Well, it reminds me of this project. It was like the Did Actor project, which had like a bunch of Did Web usable identifiers, like Alice, Bob, and so on. So is it the same idea here to have like some pre-configured?
So the core idea here is in our test suite, today we're using, I believe, Faker, and please someone correct me if I'm wrong, for example generation.
No, we did. We took it out. It's not there anymore.
Okay. So now is it handcrafted?
Yes.
Okay. So then for future handcrafting, just use example orgs, right? Use the word example wherever you possibly can. And at the end of the day, this is a best effort request, right? Do your best to make sure that going forward, we're making it abundantly clear that this is fake. Okay. Next up is 576. This is the first one from Vlad that we are going to be reviewing today, which is all about declare data type in linked data. And Ness, you said you assigned this to yourself to produce an example of relevant schema. And you said it's very similar to 573. And I'm a little bit lost in this.
Yeah, let me see.
So basically the core of this issue, from what I understand, is there are a number of
I think
things that don't have a data type, that are missing data type.
Like we generally haven't typed much. And I think that's what this is.
Okay. So I'm very torn on this. On the one hand, I would like, when we cut a 1.0, to be able to say, hey, everything is typed and ready and good to go. On the other hand, I don't know how big of a lift this is, because we don't know how many things don't have a clear type, right?
That's right. Well, we know it's a lot.
Do we? How do we know that?
Because, I mean, well, I guess it's a gut hunch.
It's an intuition.
The idea, we've just take a quick glance, like there's almost no ad types.
Yeah.
Okay. And I hate to say that I will need to resign from holding this. I just don't see myself, certainly not in the V1 time frame.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and clear you from the assigning.
And sorry for sitting on it.
So can I ask you instead to just provide an example of an incorrect one, an example of a correct one, what it would look like, rather than actually fulfill the issue, just so that when the next time we talk about this, we can, it's, you know.
That's what I promised in January 3rd, more than a year ago, make an example of. So I don't think that's a good strategy. Having an ad type, that's what it's asking for. With a term that's capitalized alongside an ID with a term that's not capitalized. That's what it's looking for.
Does anybody believe we need to get this done for 1.0? Okay. Hearing nobody says yes to that, I'm going to say this is a post 1.0. I firmly believe this is important to do. I'm just not sure that this is, you know, doable in the 1.0 timeframe. Okay. We have 10 minutes left. I'm going to keep going unless anybody would like me to stop. The next one is 633. This one says, this is an example of an invalid geocoordinate, specifically long is minus 100. There are a few such examples. Let's get them fixed into real geocoordinates.
I'm pretty sure I heard this.
You had a pending close on this, and you did put a lat long PR that merged it. Seemed okay, so I did all the other lat longs.
Yes.
We can close. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close this issue. Nice. That is done. The next one is consider improving the introduction. This is the type of issue that I thought we were going to be getting a little bit more of. So let's go through it. So this is issue number 719. Ori says, I like the framing from the attestation results for secure interactions draft. Sorry, somebody's mic is popping a lot. I'm not sure. And then Ori says, I suggest we improve our introduction text to something that looks like this. Good motivation for some plushy, good inspiration. But we need to keep a more international focus. This is ready for PR and is assigned to NIS. NIS, are you okay if we include this as part of V1? No?
Shoot. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Because I believe this is, actually important, right? For, for readability and otherwise. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and mark this as 1.0, and thank you for taking it on this. Next up is product defects, IDs, how to represent an individual product, and quantities. And this is going to be a fun one. This is 564, also opened by Vlad. The last things is, Ori said, can anyone put a concrete path to ready to PR here? And then NIST said proposed text changes to address issue. I and assigned to yourself.
All right. Well, I'll take a look.
Okay. I'm going to put this as a maybe 1.0 or
I don't think so.
So last week we had a couple of things that we tagged with 1.0, but we were like, I'm not sure if it's going to be 1.0. Let's dive a little bit deeper into it and come back. Do you believe this fits into that bucket, or are you saying this is definitely not 1.0? This should be 1.1.
Okay, let's dive in, and we can always detag it next week.
Okay. So I'm going to tag it as 1.0, and then we can revisit this next week. By next week, I mean next trace call.
Yeah.
Next one is 290. Also opened by Vlad. String IDs versus links to external data, external JSON LD payload. We use global location number and G10, but EPCS asks these to be represented as URIs. If they are not URNs but URLs, they must be digital link URLs. They can return in any particular block. How can your schema represent links to external sources of JSON LD data? How can that only be incorporated? And then we CC'd Manu. There is a lot of conversation going on here. There's a pending close on this. So I'm happy with hash links as they are being used today. I don't see any issues with it. And this does have a pending close, but path of closure is unclear. I'm happy to close as is. I don't see any significant changes that are needed here, unless anybody disagrees with that statement. It's had a pending close since August.
Yeah, and it just seems to have digressed tremendously since from initial actual request here.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close this. Okay, next one is 385. We have 4 minutes left. This one I'm going to put in chat. EPCIS traceability alignment. Mark Harrison sent the link to white paper from Phil. Some terms seem very similar to event types that can be added to the repo. Mark discussed object aggregation, aggregation, transaction, transformation events. This is ready for PR. You have created a PR called GS1 EPCIS modeling, which is now 561.
Why we closed it?
This is duplicate of 385. So yeah, this is the one that we're on right now, 385. So we're saying this is ready for PR, and this, you have an action item on this.
Oh God. Okay.
But I don't know what the action is.
The action is to file those four credential types for the four events, isn't it?
We have the generic event type, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yes, we do. Yes.
We also have commission event defined. I'm looking at it and I see it.
Yeah.
Already in. And I know we have transform, I think. So what exactly is the action?
Then I guess it's...
We have a transfer, we have a transform, and we have a transport event. All three of them are present. I feel like it's done, unless anybody disagrees.
He's asking for object, aggregation, transaction, and transformation, which I don't know much about PCIs, but okay. I do know those.
So,
I mean, I'd love to close it. Don't get me wrong, but
I don't think it's closable now because of when Mark made his comment, we did have the transfer and the transform event already in.
Okay.
So there appears to be some sort of overlap between those two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the idea. The ambition here was to harmonize.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. I don't believe this is a 1.0 thing.
No, it's not.
I think this is a 1.1 at minimum. Sorry, go ahead.
If you can finish this issue, I just wanted to throw a little question before the end of the meeting, but just finish this issue and I can ask after.
Well, I believe the issue is now 1.1 and I think we're done with it. So we have a minute left. Please go ahead, Patrick.
All right. So real quick. So for the OAuth presentation exchange, so I looked at the GitHub Actions and the test. And what's expecting on the test results. So on the last call, when it hits the slash presentations and provides a presentation as the input, the only test on the response are that it's code 200 and it's of type JSON, application JSON, but there's no information as what the body of the response should be. And when I load the OpenAPI for enterable traceability, and I look at the example, it says error could not resolve all of schema. So if I could just have a bit of clarity on what's expected here.
Go ahead, Chris.
I think with respect to the test not testing anything other than 200, I don't believe those tests were completed. So some of them probably just aren't done yet.
Okay. So what am I expected to return? So the payload, you know, I get like a presentation with a context, the type, and verifiable credential. Am I supposed to attach a workflow ID to this and return it, or what do I need to do besides just returning this presentation?
I believe you received a workflow ID within the presentation. You do not need to return. So this is the presentation exchange, right? Where you are the verifier receiving a presentation. And that presentation states, here's a collection of credentials. Here's an ID, a workflow ID related to those credentials. Please do whatever you want. Return to me a 200 stating that you received this, right?
And okay. So this is,
that's what you need to do.
Okay. So the holder will call the slash presentations with a post request with the presentation. And I just respond with the acknowledgement that I received it and. All this
it
good.
Used to be that when this was a signed presentation, it used to be that you returned a JSON object that says that you checked the signature, right? It had the prove true, I remember, Boolean. I believe now that it's not a signed presentation anymore, all you need to do is acknowledge that you have correctly received the presentation.
Okay, that's fine.
Does anybody else disagree with my characterization?
No, if you have suggestions, Patrick, by all means, raise a PR on the collection.
That's perfect. So it's just like soon. So we're preparing with BC to submit an implementation. I just want to make sure, like I can return a 200. That's not a problem, but I'd like to understand what needs to happen a little bit more. And that's why I find like the information is not so evident because it says like, look at the response and,
So if you see something that doesn't make sense, please raise an issue so we can actually fix it, right? Like the whole point of this is, you're trying to use it. You're struggling to use it. Let's make sure other people don't have that same issue, right? So, it should just return a 200 with an empty body is my understanding. If that's not what's showing if that's not what you're seeing in the YAML, then please raise an issue and we can fix that.
My question is more like, is there a implied action that was supposed to be taken by the verifier? Or is it supposed to right away return a 200? Or is he supposed to verify the credentials and so on?
Like I believe you're supposed to verify the credentials, check that they are valid, and return a 200. What you do with those credentials as a verifier, i.e. put them in a collection with the same workflows, is your business use case, right?
Yes.
But it's a return that it is, these credentials are valid.
Right. So if I received a presentation with unverified local credential, then I return an error in that case.
Yes.
That's expected of that endpoint. Perfect.
Okay. Well, we're a little bit over time. Thank you everyone for joining today. This was very, very productive. Are we okay next week to go through the rest of the traceability vocab issues just to make sure that we can continue tagging them rather than our regularly scheduled trace interrupt, trace vocab hop? Because I don't believe we have any issues on trace interrupt that we have not tagged yet.
Yeah, plus one.
Go ahead, Patrick.
So I'm going to send an email to you, Nis. Where can I find your email? Just for the context, traceability, the document stuff.
Good question. Let's catch up on LinkedIn, maybe? Find each other there?
Yeah. I'll look you up.
AJ? AJ, please go ahead.
Gotta find that mute button. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you also have to allow the microphone. I know we're over time. When I was originally invited to look into this work, not that I have to be the driving force behind it, if one of the things in the traceability vocab is issue 882, which was opened at the end of September of 2023, do I need to coordinate with ORI before it would be open to more discussion? Because I'm still trying to understand if I could have value there adding around this. And I'm not sure this is like the most pressing thing since it's not V mark any.
So what I would suggest is if you want us to review a specific issue, please bring it up and we can just talk about it at the beginning of the next call. If you would like ORI to be present specifically for that.
I can coordinate with him on that.
Yeah, please do. Right. But if you want to just discuss an issue, even if it's not 1.0 specific, please bring it up at the beginning of the call and we can have that chat.
Which was it, AJ?
882. I can drop a link. Mahmoud, very slow. Always running behind me. So there you go. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, everyone. Would anybody be able to upload the files today?
I got you.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you, everyone. This was wonderful. Hopefully next week we will continue with our traceability vocab tagging and making sure that everything is ready. Have a great rest of your day.
Yep. See you around.
Bye, guys.